From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Have I told you how much I enjoy taking this time daily? Monday through Friday, we have ABQ Connect to connect in the community. And all kinds of regular guests come through and new guests. And by the way, if you're part of an organization you think would be relevant to the KLYT listener maybe a segment on ABQ Connect would be appropriate, well, we would love to hear from you. Send that request through email to studio@klyt.fm. Some folks we had last week on the broadcast, Rick and Cater Zemke, they're going to be facilitating a biblical citizenship class that starts at Calvary Church in Albuquerque on Osuna west of Jefferson, the main campus, in the Plex. So there's plenty of room for all kinds of people to come out for this biblical citizenship class. It's no cost. I mention this every time, but I think it's important. It's on the Calvary campus. And, you know, when it's on any church campus, I think sometimes people who don't attend that church think, well, that's for that church. This is for anyone who wants to come attend the class, whether you attend Calvary, a different church, or you don't attend any church. So we would encourage you to come be part of this. It starts next Monday night at 6:30, free of charge, it'll go for 9 weeks. And I was actually talking to someone who took the class. Now, it's best if you can, of course, make all 9 weeks, but, you know, each week is kind of standalone content. If you can't make it, you look ahead on the calendar, I wouldn't be able to make it. That's okay. Make as often as you can for the next 9 Mondays and take this journey through the Bible and through American history to rediscover the secrets that produce a prosperous society when biblical principles are applied. And I'm going to tell you, obviously, Christians, that's important too. You know, there's a lot of non-Christians who have found that the principles found in the Bible, they work. It's amazing. Of course, we cling to those values and beliefs as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, the commentary during the course will include a topic or content from notable pastors, constitutional experts. I'm not sure, but I think wall builders is, you know, maybe part of who they connect with, historians and others. If you want to find out more about this course, this free course, Biblical Citizenship Class, go to calvarynm.church, and on their events page there, you'll see all the details. And well, I'm real close to saying hold me accountable, because I'm really thinking I'm going to take this course as many times as I can for the next 9 weeks. All right. With that, I welcome Paul Gessing into studio. Paul with the Rio Grande Foundation. First of all, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you.
I say with the Rio Grande Foundation, but of course, Paul taking on most of the content from errorsofenchantment.com. And Paul, there's an organization that the Rio Grande Foundation has been a part of that is helping to educate about school choice and other things pertaining to children. The All Kids New Mexico, Opportunity for All Kids New Mexico, OKNM, some of us are calling it, right? Yep. Pretty excited about this event coming up.
Yeah, we are very excited. Corey DeAngelis is one of the, if not the most preeminent speakers and academics in the support of giving parents the ability to choose the school that matters for them and their kids, the school that works for them, and using those tax dollars that we all pay in order to get an educational outcome that works for them. And sometimes it's bullying, sometimes it's subject matter, sometimes it's a Christian and biblical approach to the issues. But whatever it is, parents should be empowered to choose the school that makes sense for their children. And for this listening area, we will be at 12 noon on Monday, June 17th, at the Greater Albuquerque Association of Realtors. That's over on University Boulevard.
North of Indian School, real close to the Big I.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a great location. Was just over there checking it out the other day. Cost is only $10. He has a new book called The Parent Revolution, Rescuing Your Kids from the Radicals Ruining Our Schools. You can go to riograndefoundation.org check out the details.
He's doing a book signing.
Yeah, we're selling books online. We'll sell books in person. And Corey will be signing his new book. So you can get a copy of that, like I said, either at the event or in person. But I highly recommend signing up online at riograndefoundation.org. And we also are going to be traveling to Alamogordo, New Mexico, to have Corey talk to a group there as well. So
I'm glad you mentioned Alamogordo, because we don't cover Alamogordo, if people do miss him here or they have friends or family in Alamogordo, it's important. And the information on Alamogordo is on the website as well at riograndefoundation.org. The one other thing, Paul, I wanted to mention, because you know some people I should go to that. It's lunchtime. Well, box meals are going to be available at this event.
Yes.
So if you want to find out more about it, it's posted at riograndefoundation.org. And if you want to find out more about what I mentioned, the Opportunity for All Kids in New Mexico, correct me if I'm wrong here, Paul, that's oaknm.org, correct?
Yeah, and if you are just confused and can't find it or don't do the online thing, give us a call, 505-264-6090, and we'll get you straightened out, 505-264-6090. But remember, this is an event on Monday, and timeliness is critical. Noon to one there at the Greater Albuquerque Association of Realtors on University.
All right. And Paul's going to be with us for the full hour today. Paul with the Rio Grande Foundation. I already mentioned that website, riograndefoundation.org. And then Errors of Enchantment. Remember, you can go check that out, errorsofenchantment.com. Some of the content we'll cover today is from there. We also have some articles from the Albuquerque Journal. Paul, what was the... I know the answer, but I'm going to let you... what was the motivation to start OakNM?
Well, Rio Grande Foundation, we cut our teeth and made our name on economic policy, which tends to be a little more hard-edged, I guess, is one way to say it, because you know, people who may not really be interested in the bottom line of the state and tax rates and tax policy, they're just a different group, especially parents and families with young children. They may want something that's appealing to a more general audience than the folks who, like me, look through the green eye shades and like to crunch the numbers. So we have Rebecca Dow, who is a former state rep and has run a school or schools. She ran for governor. She is very engaging and passionate about these issues. And I figured, let's put her up at a organization that's dedicated to education policy and education reform, because that is such a unique area of New Mexico's economy and New Mexico public policy. Now, I could give you a whole dissertation on why education is just another part of our economy that happens to have been socialized in a true sense of the word. You know, people talk about socialism. Does it mean this? Does it mean that? Education truly has been socialized in New Mexico. We've really paid the price for socializing our education system. But I think that there's a lot of nuances there regarding the way people approach education that merited its own standalone organization within the Rio Grande Foundation.
Well, and Paul, forgive me for taking this time up front, but I want to give credit to where credit is due. And we've mentioned Rio Grande Foundation, errorsofenchantment.com, oaknm.org. And Paul, a lot of the content that ends up coming on this show once a month, our listeners can find in way of a podcast that you are regularly doing. Can you throw out that information where they can find the podcast? Is there a place where they can actually watch it live, or is it just archived?
So that is an excellent question, and boy, does it get complicated. So the way I consume podcasts and audio content is through either the radio or through my podcast software on my cell phone. I happen to have an Apple phone, so you go to Apple Podcasts, and we're available there. We're available on Stitcher and all the other formats, Spotify for podcasts, because, you know, I'm a busy guy. I'm out walking my dogs. I'm at the gym. I don't really need to see who the people are and what they look like. If I'm curious, I go look them up online and find pictures there. So that's my own personal taste. We do have our podcasts up on YouTube. We actually also put them up on public access here in Albuquerque. So if you're a Comcast subscriber, I believe it's Channel 25 or Channel 27, one of those two, they have the podcast feed with visual. We have some radio stations that carry the podcast, obviously in an audio-only format. And then you can go to our Facebook page, Rio Grande Foundation Facebook page, find that, and they're always put up right there in a visual format as well. So
now remind me, is it Rio Grande Foundation podcast, or is there another name for it?
It's called Tipping Point New Mexico.
That's right.
And we have a dedicated website just to the audio side of things, tippingpointnm.com. So if you don't do podcast software where it automatically uploads to your phone, but you maybe have a laptop computer in your kitchen or wherever you spend a lot of your time, you can just click on the file and the link, and it will air the podcast that way. So we try to appeal to all the different formats and different listeners with our show to get that content out.
Okay. Well, and I apologize for taking as much time as I did. However, the work you do is appreciated, and I know that you're on here once a month, but for those, you know, that are looking for more up-to-date, because, you know, I mean, in a month, a lot can happen. They can find information there. Believe it or not, we're already up against the break. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll jump right into the content for today's broadcast with Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation, coming up after this on ABQ Connect. Hey, we're actually in the midst of a conversation with Paul Gessing with the Rio Grande Foundation. And, Paul, let's jump right into it. We start with an article found in the Albuquerque Journal, an article about, in New Mexico, once again, at the bottom of National Child Welfare Report. What in this should be important to our listeners?
Well, this is an interesting one, as they all are, but the Annie Casey Foundation has produced their latest Kids Counts report, and yet again, New Mexico is buried at the very bottom in last place, 50th in this particular index, because they only do states, and there's 50 U.S. states.
Yeah, so, and let me make sure, because you mentioned the Annie Casey Foundation. It says in the article, it measures several indicators of child well-being, including education, health, and economic well-being. And any good news on any of those topics?
Actually, so they do rate each variable. And I want to be fair about this, because NE Casey releases through this information through an organization that we typically do not agree with, called New Mexico Voices for Children. New Mexico Voices for Children is in a tough position when they release this information, at least these days, because they're very political. They're very geared towards left-wing politicians, including the governor and the legislature, who they support the policies of those individuals. Unfortunately, the policies of those individuals don't actually work, and they don't improve child outcomes. So Voices for Children kind of calls into question the data that is produced in this credible national report called Voices called Kids Count. So overall, they look at things, and I'll run through a few of the categories. So there's four broad categories: economic well-being, New Mexico's 48th; education, New Mexico's 50th. It's like a pattern there somewhere. Health, we're 44th. Family and community, we're 49th. There are things that I would personally not include in this report, but overall, it's a very solid report. So economic well-being, what are we talking about? Children in poverty, children whose parents lack secure employment, children living in households with a high housing cost burden, teens not in school and not working. I think those are all very reasonable. One of them got better. Two of them got better. One of them got worse. One of them stayed the same. Education. Now, young children not in school. I don't think 3 and 4 year olds necessarily need to be in school, but that's part of the report. One of our disagreements with it, that got worse. Fourth graders not proficient in reading. Eighth graders not proficient in math. High school students not graduating on time. Those are pretty reasonable metrics. The first two got worse. The third got better. Health, low birth weight babies, children without health insurance, child and teen deaths per 100,000, child and teen who are overweight or obese. I think those are all legitimate categories. Two of them got worse. One of them got better. One of them seemed to stay the same. Family and community, children in single-parent families. Now, this is a stunner coming from a left-leaning organization. Again, this is a report put out by a left-of-center organization. For them to at least acknowledge the importance of a two-parent family,
yeah,
is, you got to give them some credit there. Unfortunately, that is a metric which New Mexico got worse in over the last year. Children and families where the household head lacks a high school diploma. I think that's important. We got better in that one. Children living in high poverty areas and teen births per 1,000. Those two we did better in than we did last year. So overall, 7 better, 7 worse. So not really a lot of movements. We were in 50th last year. We're in 50th this year. So not a surprise. But ultimately, the point is that the policies that people have put in place in New Mexico, certainly over the last 6 years or so, have not moved the needle. The COVID lockdowns and the COVID approach of this governor, I would point my finger as the single greatest cause of all of these challenges, but it's obviously a multifaceted situation, and no single policy is going to take us from 50th to even 25th, let alone number one.
Yeah, and although I think it's important to, you know, I mean, you know, even here in our daily grind here, I shouldn't say that about it. It's not a grind. We love doing what we do here. But when something happens in our office, you know, that's contrary to an outcome we want, you know, the typical address is what happened, how did it happen, and how do we prevent it from happening again? And it seems to me, because in the time, Paul, that you and I have, you know, looked at whether it's education or child well-being or, you know, all these things, we're at the bottom of the list. Things don't seem to change. And it just, you know, one of the things I know that's come up in the past is to look at other states that were near us in ranking and have improved. And, you know, maybe it seems like a simple solution, but, you know, to go and look and see what those states are doing to climb out of the cellar.
Well, I can tell you that, again, just like there's no single problem that is going to solve all of these or no single policy, certainly I look at a lot of these as poverty-driven. How do we develop our economy? How do we grow our economy? New Mexico has for a very, very long time, close to 100 years, embraced a government-centric model. And we're going to talk about oil and gas and the money that's coming into our state through that. We could change that model very easily, very quickly if we chose to. Now, you may not see it in the next report, maybe a couple years, but I would bet my house and my children's college funds that if you do the kinds of policies that the Rio Grande Foundation advocates for, within 5 years, you would start to see clear signs of life. And yeah, we have those done things like that in the past.
And it takes time to turn the ship.
Absolutely.
You know, but you need to see that there's a course correction, not only that that it was implemented, but that it's having an effect. And like you said, it's not going to happen tomorrow. The other thing I would say, and listen, I really say this having thought it through, I typically regularly am heard saying, you know, all these issues we deal with, the answer is Jesus. And the answer is Jesus. The truth is, when Jesus walked the earth, there were children who were hungry, because, you know, or other things that we're talking about here. However, like I mentioned at the top of the hour with the course that's coming up, and talking about how applying biblical principles to the way we live and how we conduct ourselves as a community, it has a positive impact. And you did say there's not one solution, and there's really not. However, I do want to throw that out there, listener, those biblical principles are something that would have an absolute, I am convinced, absolute positive impact on our community.
You're absolutely right. And again, this report is worthwhile. It is, I think, a very candid and realistic look at what is truly happening in New Mexico. I believe, you know, that between the Rio Grande Foundation's, you know, that our work on various things, we just talked about education and specifically focusing on choice, that is one of the four broad categories. And if we focused on education and improving those outcomes, that would also, along with economic policies of lower taxes, less regulation, a focus on private sector growth as opposed to government growth, that we would see a rapid turnaround. And you know, these are not just statistics. This is murders on the streets of Albuquerque. This is people depressed and committing suicide because their life seems like it's hopeless.
There's 11-year-olds making the news.
Exactly.
11-year, and his accomplice was 13.
Yep.
These are children, and they're actually kids missing their childhood.
Absolutely. Missing, never had. You may not, again, there is no 100% solution policy-wise, belief in your Lord and Savior and a dedication of your life to Him is a different story. That's 100%, but public policy can either assist us in moving the needle or it can hold us back, and Obviously this report shows what we're doing is holding us back.
All right, and actually, before we go to the break, can we jump to our next story?
Sure.
let's talk about this again, Paul. But I think it's important that we do, because actually, you provide, I don't know how much in detail you're going to go, but this next story, you've brought a lot of detail with you about the oil and gas generating a mind blowing $15.2 billion for New Mexico in fiscal year 2023. It's always interesting to see how that surplus gets put to use.
Or not get put to use, as the case may be. And that is one of, if you read the Albuquerque Journal article about the Kids Count report, they talk about poverty. And the fact is that the people of New Mexico are relatively poor. The state of New Mexico is very, very, very rich. And that dichotomy is truly worth noting. Unfortunately, media reports, you know, like to focus on, oh, well, how much money does Elon Musk or Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos have? Well, when it comes to New Mexico, the state of New Mexico is like those guys all rolled into one because the oil and gas industry is generating, in this case, fiscal year 2023, $15.2 billion. To give you an idea, our general fund budget, even after years of rapid spending growth is just over $10 billion. So we could do a lot to change the incentive structure. Again, I believe that life is a lot has a lot to say about incentives. If you have proper incentives, you will change the way people approach their lives and the world around them. And we could easily be dramatically reducing tax burdens and getting people into productive behaviors like showing up for a job as opposed to dissipating themselves on a couch and smoking marijuana or doing other drugs. Having that incentive is critical, and it could be done in New Mexico.
Okay, and did you want to go into, would that benefit to go through any of the, how this is kind of doled out?
Well, the fundamental point to be made is that not all of the money goes to the general fund. We have this system in place in New Mexico where we have set up, or they have been set up in decades past, permanent funds. And those permanent funds are funded through the oil and gas industry, and they siphon off a lot of this money. And then ultimately, that money is invested, and then sometimes, and it spends a certain percentage of it on various government priorities, education and whatnot. I think this was a fundamentally flawed approach. Government should not be rich. The people should be rich. And unfortunately, we're nowhere near having a discussion in this state about, do we really need these permanent funds? Because they were set up on the mindset that we live in a scarce world and that oil and gas will run out and that we need to have a pool of resources available for our government to use if and when oil and gas runs out.
Saving for a rainy day.
That sounds good. You and I should save for a rainy day because eventually we will be too old to work a 9-to-5 job and we need to save those dollars. Government is not an individual. Government lives forever, more or less, and they don't have to save money. They need to draw upon human talent. And the most important research source on the planet is between your ears and mine. And New Mexico, for too long, has done a great job of chasing the best and brightest entrepreneurs and business people out of our state through harmful policies that make New Mexico uncompetitive with our neighbors. Using these dollars to instead not dole out special interest incentives and one-off credits and specific policies for one company or another, but making those available to everybody so that government's not picking winners and losers. That is the approach we want to see. That has not been tried in any significant way, except for a brief time when Bill Richardson dramatically reduced our personal income tax. We did see growth during that period of time, but we haven't really tried that in an organized way in New Mexico in a very, very, very long time.
And maybe you just mentioned it, Paul, but I'm kind of curious. You know, Desert Island, if you could pick one, and there's plenty of things that need to be happening with the surplus we have. But if you could pick one and say, you know, if nothing else, this would be my suggestion.
Well, the reform of the gross receipts tax is easy and straightforward and needs to be done and needed to be done 20 years ago. But the gross receipts tax has direct implications because of the way it taxes business-to-business activities. It hits small businesses the most because if you hire a bookkeeper for your organization, your business, it's a small business, you pay them, you don't hire them. They have to pay gross receipts tax. if a major corporation hires a bookkeeper as a full-time employee, they do not have to pay the gross receipts tax on that. That those kinds of problems are spread throughout this tax and this tax code. And it's one of the things that chases small business out of our state, because if you have to pay 8% on a transaction involving a bookkeeper or buying advertising or something else, you're not going to stick around New Mexico very long when you can go to Colorado, Texas, or New Hampshire, or Washington State and not have to pay that same tax. It's very simple.
All right. Hey, it's halfway through our show today, and we are going to take a break. But Paul Gessing is our guest for the full hour from the Rio Grande Foundation. And actually, I want to mention this again because we mentioned it at the top of the broadcast, a school choice event that's coming to Albuquerque on Monday, June 17th. That's this Monday at noon. The location for the event is the Greater Association of Albuquerque Realtors. It's on University. If you're going north on University, just go north of Indian School. And I believe it's just before, you know, you get around the I-25 area on the left-hand side. The Rio Grande Foundation and Opportunity for All Kids New Mexico, they're inviting you to come on out and hear from Corey DeAngelis, arguably the most prominent national spokesperson and expert on allowing education dollars to follow students. As far as it being at lunchtime, box meals are available. There will be a book signing. Corey's book, The Parent Revolution, Rescuing Your Kids from the Radicals Ruining Our Schools. And you need to register for the event. Go to riograndfoundation.org to do that. And, Paul, there was a number you said they could call if they didn't want to do it online.
They can call 505-264-6090, and we'll get them squared away. It's 1635 University Boulevard Northeast, so it is right there between the Big Eye and Lomas on University. And, it's going to be a great event. I encourage folks to sign up and come out, buy a copy of the book, get lunch squared away if they want to do that. And we'll see them on Monday, June 17th.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more with Paul from the Rio Grande Foundation right after this on ABQ Connect. Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Hey, I was visiting earlier today with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates. And he reminded me, and I told him I'd mention it on the show, so here you go. On johnmoore.com on the website, there is tonight, or this afternoon, I should say, a free webinar, Marriage and Money, Managing Finances as a Team. Financial literacy isn't romantic, it says, but it is essential to a happy, long-lasting union. So you can join Brian Cochran. He's going to be chatting with financial expert Joe Limke and his wife Pam about their financial journey as a couple and what wisdom and advice they would share. This is a free webinar, and if you go to johnmoore.com, on their website right now, they actually have it posted, and there's a link to where you can join it today. If for some reason you can't make that today at 4 p.m., they will post it at no cost on the Insights tab. It's always available there for you at johnmoore.com in the coming week or so. So that's this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Paul Gessing is our guest today in studio from the Rio Grande Foundation. And Paul, you and I have not voted since, or we have not visited since voting in the primary, which, by the way, I did.
Good. Well, I did as well, and I always recommend that folks go and vote early. And if you did that in this election, as is typically the case, even in high turnout elections, you will be in and out of the voting booth in a very short time span. I had, I think, maybe five people to vote for on my ballot. So as fast as I can circle those little circles in there, fill them in, I get in and out of there. There's never a line at early voting, and except for the first day.
I went on election day, and it was the same thing.
Well, that's because we had very low turnout, 23%. I don't blame people necessarily, because first and foremost, the votes that turn people out typically are presidential votes. Neither party had anything serious in that regard. U.S. Senate, nobody had a primary on that. side as well. Heinrich's locked in. Nella Domenici's locked in as well. You have three congressional districts throughout New Mexico. Only the Republican District 1 race was contested. It was a bit of a shocker. A gentleman named Luis Sanchez, who lives here in Albuquerque Metro, involved with Caliber's shooting locations and does some other work as well. He actually lost his race narrowly to a gentleman named Steve Jones, who I personally had never heard of. So shocking. I don't even know who won that District 1 primary, at least not yet. I hope to get to know him a little bit. So you had a bunch of legislative races. And really what we saw in the legislative races was that the Democrats, where the action is, because they control New Mexico, saw a further erosion of their moderate voices, people who are more in tune with the locations they represent, those districts, getting replaced by people backed by the progressive machine, people who take their marching orders from left-wing special interest groups. Emerge New Mexico is one of those groups that recruits, trains, and gets behind left-wing Democrat progressive women only in races. A lot of special interest money came in. The governor put money into races. So the upshot is that out of 11 or so Democrats who in the House took a skeptical stance on some of what the governor was doing on paid family leave, guns, even to an extent on the clean fuel standard, three of those people lost in their primaries. An additional one was retiring and replaced by a more progressive member up there in the Navajo region of New Mexico, northwest corner of the state. So pretty disappointing in terms of that outcome. On the Republican side, you did have a bunch of races. I mentioned the District 1 congressional race as a big one. There were some heated races down in southeastern New Mexico. The biggest surprise to me was that a legislator named Greg Nybert, who represented parts of Roswell and the eastern part of the state, did not successfully get to the Senate. He was beaten by somebody who's more of a ranching type Republican. Presumably he will win that seat, but Greg Nybert's been somebody we've worked with, especially on the governor's executive orders and emergencies and putting the legislature back at the table. A lot of people were confounded by that one, but the voters ultimately had their say. The big news is that if things stay the way they are, numbers-wise, New Mexico will even have a more left-wing legislature, a more progressive legislature, and chances are very good that they would pass paid family leave in the next session, maybe more gun control, other policies. So just to be clear, one thing is coming up in July. We will have a show before this happens, but the special session is on the way in mid to late July. And as far as I can see right now, it is going to be focused on some crime issues. I'll have more of a grasp on what those are. Hopefully the governor comes out and we can talk about specifics before the special session. But that will be the pre-existing legislature. The folks elected in the respective primaries will not really, that won't matter. It'll be the people that were back there in January and February.
And what's the start date for the special session?
I want to say July 16th, 17th, that time frame.
Okay, so next time you're in here, probably we'll be before.
Creeping right up on it, yeah. And hopefully we'll know exactly what's going to be on the agenda for that special session.
And actually, I'm going to guess on Tipping Point, between now and then, if people wanted to kind of keep a pulse on what to expect in the special session, you may be talking about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any more on the election?
No. Really, just all eyes are on November. That is going to be a barn burner of an election. Obviously, the presidential race, U.S. Senate,
races. I'm glad you didn't just say November, that you actually brought up the word election just to inform those that are listening that there's an election in November. I mean, I say that because of a 23% turnout. And I understand a lot of people say, oh, it's a primary. And like you said, I mean, there's a lot of things have pretty well been decided. But, you know, for me, I want to tell you, as a voter and someone who's lives in a country where we have the freedom to go do that, it's kind of exercising practice makes permanent. and when it's and when I have the when we have the opportunity to go and vote and let those that are running for office know who is running that lines up with our values and beliefs and supports the public policies that are important to us. No matter the election, if you have opportunity, I encourage you to do that. And there's a big one coming in November.
Yeah. And the special session is July 18th. I went ahead
there you
and
go. That. So, you'll probably be here before that. So,
yeah.
Listen, we're visiting the full hour today with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more to get us to the top of the hour and Jay Sekulow at 2 o'clock. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect. Thanks for joining us. Full hour today with Paul Gessing from the Rio Grande Foundation. I do want to give a shout out both to Tayshawn and Jared. Tayshawn's on the board today, but daily those guys keep us on the air and on time and getting things out to you. So thanks to those guys for all they do to make the show happen. And Paul, let's jump right back into it. The next topic was Maxeon and Virgin Galactic and their impact here in New Mexico.
Well, the first topic is Virgin Galactic. That's timely because they launched what will be their final mission with the Unity spacecraft on Saturday out of Spaceport America. And the long and short of it is that Virgin Galactic was the recipient of the world's first purpose-built spaceport at taxpayer expense here in New Mexico. It cost $220 million to build, but since then there's been expansions and then, of course, operation and maintenance. The thing has to have cost taxpayers between $300 and $350 million at this point in time. Unfortunately, Virgin Galactic, while they've successfully launched, and I applaud them and am happy that nobody got injured in any of their launches, basically has found out that they can't make money with the craft they have now. So they are going into at least a two-year hiatus in terms of their business generating revenue and launching people into near space. As they developed Discovery, which is a new module for them to launch two extra people. Right now they can launch four. They're going to try to launch six people on each mission. And more importantly, they're trying to create a module that can be launched very rapidly, you know, like a couple times a week kind of thing. That is not the way things have been acting so far. The reason I mention all this is because, first and foremost, there was a lot of New Mexico tax dollars spent on this project. It is not the way we should be doing our economic development in the state of New Mexico, betting on individual companies, providing them taxpayer-financed places like Spaceport America. The market should be the deciding factor in these decisions, and it's just not the way we should do things. So I wish Virgin Galactic the best. Their share price of their stock has dropped from about $60 a share back in 2021 to right now you can find it for under $1 a share, and there's a real chance that they could be delisted from the New York Stock Exchange, which would be a real problem for them as a company. But New Mexico's kind of bought into the future of Virgin Galactic in a way that I think is very very problematic. Now, the other thing, Maxeon Solar, that name is of a Singapore-based, Chinese-owned now, solar panel manufacturing company. The governor had a big splashy event last fall because they were supposed to build a major solar panel manufacturing facility at Mesa del Sol at a cost of $1.2 billion, $600 million of taxpayer subsidies. This is supposed to be where economic development is going in New Mexico. Now, of course, it very much fits within the governor's, you know, wind and solar and so-called green energy, et cetera. Well, the company got sold to China because they're basically they're having serious problems. They didn't file certain forms with the NASDAQ stock index. Their share price has dropped not quite as far down as Virgin Galactic, but it's MAXN, MAXN. You can find Maxeon. As we talk right now, it's $1.43, again, from a high of over $50. I suspect that they may never build that facility south of town, which would be just fine by me. You know, examples like Solyndra at the federal level. We also saw Eclipse Aviation, Tank, other companies that have been brought here, including a solar panel manufacturer, Shot Solar, went belly up after consuming millions of dollars of taxpayer revenue. So, again, business and politicians do a terrible job of picking winners and losers in the economy. Instead, they should build a even playing field with low taxes and have reasonable regulations, and then let the businesses come here. That's the way it works. The way New Mexico has tended to do it, especially under the current governor, has not worked very well. And we'll see. Maxeon, you know, according to Governor Lujan Grisham, that deal is still in place. She believes it'll go forward. I believe that would be a huge mistake because, you know, when your stock price is that as low as it is, it's an indicator that the market, the investors, are telling you this is not a viable operation. And yet they're going to spend over $1 billion, aided by the taxpayers of New Mexico, to build this solar panel manufacturing plant. Well, if you can't succeed during the Biden administration with all the money that they're pumping in and all the mandates that they're pumping into solar and wind, Donald Trump isn't going to do you any favors if he gets elected. Now, a second Biden term, maybe things will turn around for him. But either way, this is a business that is not only fragile, but it's now owned by the Chinese government, which I think says a lot about where things really are going with Maxeon.
So fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I have to think, you know, this was allowed essentially because, again, we're putting people in office that are making decisions on behalf of us and our tax dollars. And maybe that's simplifying it more than it should be. But, Paul, here's another question. Is there another Virgin Galactic Maxeon on the horizon that maybe we should be vocal about in order to keep from seeing the same thing happen again?
Well, I think Maxeon's the one to look at right now. Spaceport America, I think it's time to cut our losses and at least not pour more money into that facility, because Virgin Galactic is very much on the ropes with their business model, and whether they ever launch a spacecraft again, I think, is a very, very open question. But broadly speaking, you know, I don't see those kinds of things really happening. Even if we had a Maxeon and more money into Virgin Galactic, what we need to focus on is lowering tax burdens, tax reform, making sure that we are the business-friendly destination in the southwestern part of the United States. And yeah, we need to work on everything. We need to work on our education system, crime, regulation. But with the oil and gas money that we talked about earlier coming in here, the fastest way to move the needle is through some dramatic and effective tax reform. So I call these the Ghost of Christmas Past and the Ghost of Christmas Future projects, because not only are they kind of ghosts already, but they are, you know, one, spaceport is obviously limited in our options. If we were to leave that thing into the desert, it would just eventually recede back to the desert, like a lot of other capital outlay projects in New Mexico history have done. Maxeon, thankfully, they haven't turned a spade of dirt yet, and I would just be very, very careful if they do as to what is going to happen with that particular company.
All right. Well, Paul Gessing's been our guest for the full hour today on ABQ Connect from the Rio Grande Foundation. Go to riograndefoundation.org, errorsofenchantment.com, and don't forget about the event coming up Monday. The details for that school choice event you'll find on the riograndefoundation.org website. Paul, thanks. Next month, we'll look forward to a preview of the special session.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for listening daily, 1 o'clock to ABQ Connect.